Hey, hey, Selv, look what I have.
What's that, Checkers?
And Checkers holds up this thin silver ring. Behold, the ring of the bear.
Didn't Valeska have that?
Oh, don't worry, she doesn't know I have it.
She'll probably find out quickly.
Shh, it's fine. But witness the birth of the world's greatest adventurer.
We don't know if... Wait, no. Oh.
Ah, ha, 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 ha. Now I have the world's most powerful object. The object of focus, said to rival even that of Nazar the Black.
Ah, ha, 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 ha. I suppose you look a bit taller.
I don't really feel any different either. This thing sucks. I don't like it. Here, Self, you take it.
Checkers, my bag feels lighter. What did you take?
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Nathan.
Hi, Nathan.
Ooh, that was a good one. Congratulations, you all level up.
Hey.
You don't. No. You as people level up.
Oh, that's not nearly
this is work.
And
I don't like.
Let's
this.
All go around and say what class you're leveling up in. And nope, we're not going to do that. Patreon bonus content or sound off in the comments. What's our classes?
What class vibe do we give off?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Hi, everyone. I am your Dungeon Master, Nathan. I am so excited to be joined on this excellent recording of Reckless Attack. Once again, all four of us around the table after some side quest shenanigans. But speaking of side quest shenanigans, to my right is...
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am playing Zell of Asterlin, the Dragonborn monk, who now, in addition to having some claustrophobia... issues now has a fear of houses that have
all houses
that are
yeah.
just out in the open somewhere. So
yeah, well, specific.
I feel like that's going to come up a lot.
There will be when we get back to the Red City of Agmar. If he's ever invited to go inside somewhere, there's going to be a bit of checking just to make sure.
Selv and Checkers just like switch bedrooms. Selv is going to sleep outside in the backyard.
Yeah.
Yep,
that's out on the roof. Yes, it's safer there. Mm-hmm. Less chance of getting eaten by furniture or upholstery or, you know, the hallway. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Castrin Brightmane, the Dwarven Warlock. And boy, am I glad that the Mothman never found out about Castrin's fear of heights.
The now extremely canon.
Yep.
Or at least discomfort at great heights.
And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty fog pals, Mango and Junior. And I, too, am similarly glad that the Mothman never found out about Checkers' deep fear of languages.
learning.
Yeah, as we found in Val's Mindscape, just intense anxiety around learning new languages, really powering through that just so he can, you know, like, read.
Wow. A truly incredible, stalwart adventurer.
Right. This is what, exactly. This is what being the greatest adventurer means. It means challenging your fears and learning and being literate.
Being somewhat literate.
Yeah. And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human astral cleric of the Arcana Domain, who is here to help Checkers conquer his fears.
Thanks, Al.
Hey.
And aims to make learning fun.
Yeah, exactly. Conquering fears through packets and group activities. Well, there was still much to fear over the last couple of days. We have learned, we did the math off air. This is, we think, the best we can come up with.
Well, wait, we did do the math. We have trusted the chronicles, the absolute truth.
Of course.
Of Steve's notes.
Of Steve's notes, right. The only source of truth.
The archives.
Exactly. The all-knowing.
Yeah. All I have to do is switch a few numbers, and this becomes the middle of day one.
Yeah. Wow, guys, we're really booking through this. This is about, we join our adventurers roughly, we'll say about partway through day 3 of the travels. Kind of like 3.5. They started on day 0. It's complicated, and we've been downhill ever since, basically. They are outside of the walls of the Red City of Agmar, tracking down a lead to meet up with a strange sorcerer who might be able to help them with a problem. And they have run into some weird things the last few days. Most of them cool, but the things that were scary or intense were a lot of both of those things. So I don't know how the scale tips exactly in that particular direction. But most recently, two of the adventurers, Checkers and Kaskrin, both hopped into the mind of Valeska Carter to go rescue her and her asterisk from strange creatures from another plane, while Selv Astralin ran around and was generally traumatized by houses and dinosaurs and whatnots. They learned some very interesting information about the state of the cosmos, got some cool magic items identified, and crossed a ravine. The most harrowing adventure of them all. And now find themselves in kind of this very daunting field, I suppose, where all of the grass is 7-8 feet tall, well above the heads of our adventurers, even if they were not mostly very short, and have started walking in. And they are surrounded by all of these strange reeds that are making this very, not quite depressing sound, but
it's
oppressive.
Like moaning.
Yes. These bad sounds. These very uncomfortable sounds.
I love that detail personally.
Yes, 100%.
Like the wind is blowing these grass leaves around and the reeds and everything. It's just making this like didgeridoo kind of low.
Yes, exactly. Could be. They have entered into this space and are already, along with their undead companion, the Fortunate, trying to keep their wits about them as much as they can, not knowing where the next threat might come. When in front of them, some of these reeds start to kind of coalesce, and they coalesce into a woman-shaped creature, we'll say. A female-shaped creature, whatever. You know what I mean, dear listener. That is a little bit misshapen and has a reed kind of over its mouth that it seems to be speaking through. And it stops you all and says something along the lines of, well, what are all of you doing here?
Vibe check.
Are you looking specifically where, what is this, what is
creature's, what is this reed creature's vibe?
Or what is this reed creature?
What is this reed creature's vibe? And then later we'll figure out
what it is. Got it. So this creature, again, it is pretty diminutive. And let me describe it a little bit further, and then we'll have Val and whoever else is interested roll. It is humanoid, but there are a couple of kind of strange features about it, beyond the fact that it is a strange creature made out of grass. Most notably, it is kind of hunched over a little bit. And it immediately strikes you as, it looks kind of like, in terms of posture, like it is an old person. You know, kind of that hunch of age, too many years of poor posture, bad core strength, whatever it is. But accentuating that look is its right arm is overgrown. Think of it as triple, quadruple the size that a normal humanoid's arm would be. So much so that it is long enough that it's kind of leaning down onto a fist it is making down into the ground as its roots kind of spread. And then its left leg, kind of the opposite part of its body, seems to be strangely withered, where it is much smaller than its other leg and much smaller than it should be given its proportions, and looks kind of dead. And it leans over and kind of hunches and looks at you all and says this thing. And now you can vibe check.
Guidance?
No. You're not saying a prayer right now. You're getting vibes.
Kaskrin will also try to make a vibe check. Kaskrin with a 13.
No, with a 26.
You didn't need it, see?
Well, fine.
I don't need it, but I want it.
So
a 30.
for Kaskrin, what you are picking up, it is not necessarily welcoming. Val, you pick up on that and kind of get an extra little bit of layer where this creature is interested to see you all. And again, isn't necessarily about to jump on you or start a fight or something, mm-hmm. but is sizing the four of you up and kind of trying to take your measure and is very, very interested to see four mortals and a couple of frogs and this strange undead creature wander into this field.
Can I try to figure out what type of creature this is?
Absolutely. I would say nature or arcana or maybe even a history.
I will go with
nature. They will have different DCs.
Is it too soon for Val to roll that as well?
Nah.
Okay.
All right, I will.
No guidance. This is all happening. These are compromises, Sophie.
I will try a nature check.
Val will go for arcana.
So Selv with a 12?
23.
You would actually recognize this, and of course Val would as well, as this is actually also, and it's weird, again, the malformations, you have no clue. Neither of you really don't understand. But what you both know is that this is actually another dryad. Much like the dryad that you guys encountered way back in episode 1 and 2, except this one is actually a field dryad instead of the classic D&D tree-based one. That is kind of what you would know, Selv. Val, for you, you would know that this is a magical creature, and instead of being tied to a particular tree or forest, it is tied to a place like this, where this is actually the equivalent of its grove. Oh. In this weird, giant, overgrown plain of grass. You would also know a little bit about them in that they are enjoy poking and prodding mortals and making their lives a little difficult. Not necessarily in a wanting to beat you up kind of way, mm-hmm. antagonistic way, but in a like they take particular pleasure in just making your life a little bit more difficult.
Kaskrin will say to this creature, "We are travelers from the Red City of Agmar, hoping to make our way through this field. I hope that is not a problem."
When Cass finishes his opening remarks, Val will cast Mind Link and give Cass kind of the lowdown on what she's learned about this dryad. And then when she's done with that, she'll Mind Link Self to give him that information. And then just go down the line.
So to Junior, then to Mango,
and then finally
Checkers.
Yeah. Order of relative importance.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
No, she'll start from the top of the frog stack.
Work down. Yeah, exactly. Mango, he's chill. He can learn when he learns.
Yeah.
This creature kind of regards you, Cass, as you say this. You can see kind of looks you up and down, and it's kind of again, measuring you just a little bit. I don't really know or care about that, where you're from. Is it from nearby, I guess, is the question.
Not too far from here. Perhaps 3-4 days travel.
Interesting what you would call close and far. What brings the four of you out this direction?
Does Val know from the information she's recalled, are dryads kind of the only comparison I can think of right now is sphinxes, where truth and wordsmithing are very important to them?
Yes-ish.
Okay.
Where they like the truth being told to them.
Mm-hmm.
And are wishy-washy on whether they need to tell you the truth.
And to wordsmith themselves.
Yeah, right, okay. Exactly. They appreciate when you're talking straight to them and tell them and are very forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will decide if you get the same from them. And even then, maybe.
Okay, gotcha.
Kaskrin is actually going to try to lie to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because based off of the information that Val has given him, they like standing in people's way. And so he doesn't want her to cause troubles for us. And so he's going to tell her, we're on our way to help this one. And he points to the fortunate. Find a friend of theirs deeper in these fields.
I thought for a second you were going to say, we're going to help this creature, the fortunate, find their skin and muscles.
No, oh God. No.
They lost them. They somewhere.
Lost no, them. Actually, don't
we've
want
decided
that.
We're not a horror podcast.
I don't want that.
We can't
actually
have content warnings on every episode.
Fine.
Or we could,
good, actually.
Maybe we should at this point.
Okay, give me a deception check.
Cool. Not great.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kaskrin uses the ability of the Eternal Citadel and his fancy coin to reroll that.
It was a 5.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
13. Slightly okay. Better.
This creature, once again, kind of looks you up and down and then looks at the rest of you.
Val does like a little wave.
And it says, I don't know that I believe you. But that's fine. Are you here to do me harm? To do this place harm?
Absolutely not. We would like to move through this place as quickly and gently as possible.
I want to hear him say it, she says as she uses her good arm to point over at Kaskrin.
And you find that when Velasco was talking, Kaskrin like kind of turned to the side and took off the beard covering made of grass.
Forgot about that. Yep, good.
We've only just met you. Of course, we don't mean to do you any harm. We just hope to travel through these fields peacefully and, like I said, make our way to our destination and help our friend.
I have a question, Kaskrin.
Kas says as he lights a torch. We're just passing through.
Waving a scythe back and forth, absentmindedly. I have a question for you, Kaskrin. I, Nathan, the Dungeon Master. Where do you wear your coin?
I wear it...
And is it visible?
It is not visible.
Okay.
It's underneath the heavy armor and the gambeson, so it's just close to his chest.
Okay. And this creature... Again, kind of looks at you, says, yeah, I've heard that before.
Val will speak up and ask, if I may, could I ask what caused, and I do not mean to be impolite, but what caused the withering, and is there anything we can do to help?
That's yet to be seen.
Okay.
You, Frog.
Eh?
I haven't seen your like around here in some time.
Yeah, me neither. In some time, huh?
Well, I mean, my version of some time and your version of some time may differ. But some time. What is it that you're doing here? You've been quiet.
Well, it's just as they said. We're just on our way to help our good friend the Fortunate try and find their skin and bones. Wait. No.
That was
Wait, we're not doing that.
Wait, no, we're not doing that.
Scratch that, rewind.
Well, it's just as they said. We're on our way to help this fine creature, the Fortunate, find their long-lost friend. And Checkers does, like, maybe a bit... He does it a bit too theatrically.
Gestures
yeah,
towards
yeah.
the Fortunate?
Yeah.
You stage gesture, so it's yeah, really big.
Trying to back up Val and Cass's claims.
I will say, Val has not lied.
Yeah, totally. I would like... I'm imagining Checkers is standing next to the Fortunate
yeah.
gesturing.
Yeah.
And the Fortunate, under their breath, says, I don't know if you should mention me anymore. You guys look down, and you see that the Fortunate's legs have been wrapped in vines and grass. The dryad looks kind of at you again, Checkers, and is like, that doesn't seem like help I'm really interested in facilitating.
What I'm imagining is actually as Checkers is kind of looking at the Fortunate and gesturing, and he's kind of halfway through his sentence, he notices that the Fortunate has started to be bound up by all of these roots
and all these plants. And as he's gesturing towards the fortunate, he goes, "We were just here to help our friend." And then he just like gestures towards Mango. This poor boy has lost his dear friend.
Very smooth, very smooth.
And I'm here to help find the long lost friend of my dear boy, Mango. Don't you see how sad he is? And Mango just gives like a little sad face.
Can Val mind link Cass while Checkers is talking?
Absolutely. As you gesture towards Mango, in a surprisingly fast moment, the pile of reeds and leaves and just kind of, you know, misc nature drops to the ground. Like, just collapses as if whatever was animating it is just totally cut off. And then next to you, Checkers, you see a slender hand kind of pet Mango's head as this creature immediately reappears next to you and says, "This one I do like a little bit more."
Val will mind like Cass, and Cass, why are you lying?
We don't know what this thing is or what it wants from us. We just know that it appeared out of nowhere, and we've still got 5 days left to travel.
I get that, but we could have just said we're trying to pass through without lying.
Wow, everyone got awfully quiet for a moment.
I'm imagining this is all happening Checkers.
I also assume that there's kind of like some kind of tell of like.
I feel like we have like a hand signal where Val like brushes her brow to the direction of who she's mind linking.
I think we've established that there is some signal given. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what
Cashman's
it was.
Cashman's also very bad at hiding it, so he's like actively looking at
mouthing things. Yeah.
What are you talking about? And Cashman will, he will tell them, "So we are trying to help the fortunate, but our good fortunate boy Mango, who is so lucky to have all of us as friends. Isn't that right, boy?" "But we need to get to Deepwood to meet someone. There is a powerful druid, powerful mage that we're looking for that has knowledge that we seek."
This creature standing still with a hand on Mango, standing next to Checkers and the Fortunate, looks back at you all and says, "I know that name, but it does not concern me right now. You, Dragonkin."
Self will give a slight bow.
"I have something that might be of interest to you. Here's the situation. As you have asked.
My parents went away on a week's vacation. They left the keys to the brand new Porsche."
"I don't know what song you're referencing."
"Will they mind?" "Well, nah, of course not. I'll just take it for a little spin. Maybe show it off to a couple of friends."
"Is this Ferris Bueller?"
"No. Are we the friends?"
"No."
"I thought this was Home Alone for a second."
"No, no. I also thought it was
it's a Will Smith. Parents just don't understand."
"Oh, okay. I don't remember. I remember that song exists."
I'm sorry. The only Will Smith song I can know. Never
getting remembers. Jiggy with it.
I was gonna say Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West. Wild Wild. Men in Black, etc.
Yeah.
Also, the situation is the least popular member of the Bums. anyway, I have an issue, as you've noticed.
And Sel will kind of look down at the Dryad's leg.
Something happened a little while ago here in my grove. And I need help. And I need mortal help, unfortunately. Especially, unfortunately, you are the only mortals that I've seen in some time. So, here is what I would like to propose. I need you to assist me with something. And I will ensure your safe passage through here. As you may know, it's a little difficult for your kind to traverse here. And I'm sure the mud will do you no favors, nor will any of the creatures who reside here, who, by the way, do listen to me when I suggest things. I don't know if your friend, gesturing to first to the fortunate and then to the large frog, has a timetable for their help. Because the thing that I would like for you, we cannot do until tomorrow night. Now, you can try to go around. That is fine. Or you can try and go through my grove. It will take some time. I will not say it will be an easy journey for you all. I will not say that I will not ensure that it is not an easy journey for you all. But I'm sure you will emerge on the other side without any problem. Or you could do the right thing, the smart thing, and help me out.
Do I get the impression that this dryad is being forthright?
Would you like to roll a vibe check?
I would like to. Yes, I would. I rolled a 2 for a total of an 8. She's on the up and up.
It is alien. You know, like, this creature is alien, and motives and meanings could be veiled.
And what is the nature of the help that you need?
Some time ago, a mortal came into the grove and opened up some sort of hole. The mortal came, spoke as a friend, and used the magic of this grove and its oasis and the ancient words to open this portal, and it summoned some strange creature out of it. Then they just left. They did not close it, and it is still here, and, well, it is killing me. I know a ritual that should close it, and I ask nothing from you all, save for your time and a bit of intention.
This creature, mortal, that opened the portal, it wasn't a large blue creature holding a lantern.
The creature just, like, shakes its head as you're describing it. When you describe the staff that it also was holding. At that, it kind of pauses and it's like, well, there was like a talisman, I think is the word, that had this hook thing on it.
And the talisman was in the shape of a hook, or?
Had it on it.
Can we have a few minutes to discuss?
Sure, certainly, of course. Just let me know.
I think for the fortunate safety, we should accept and assist. Second point, I want to know.
Yeah, right.
I think the timing works out. If we say no and go around, we will use up just as much time as if we wait here and help her tomorrow night.
I think even though we have to wait till tomorrow night, we will be out ahead of schedule, given just looking at what we'd have to go through in this grove. It will take us a significant amount of time without their help.
And maybe she can guarantee our safety for a good night's sleep. That's not in the house.
I do.
That's trying to eat me.
Always back with the house. Yeah.
And Sel just gets that, like, 1,000 yards there.
You mentioned one house that tries to eat you. Now every house. No.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by A Foul Light Shines, a new free serial novel based on a D&D campaign. The Empire of Fire and Water has known 20 golden years of peace since the end of Aegenion's War, a peace which is now in peril. When a ragtag group of friends intervene in a grotesque monster attack, they're too late to save a wounded man who leaves them with an encrypted journal and the words, "Trust no one, Tyr." Can the gang find Tyr, escape the claws of more strange monsters, and uncover the lurking threat to the Empire before it's too late? This story features themes of found family and strength in diversity, and is available for free on Campfire and Royal Road. A Foul Light Shines. Come for the fantasy. Stay for the cheese-obsessed goblin gunslinger.
Hello, this is your pilot speaking. I would like to welcome you to Reckless Airlines. Our total flight time for this episode is approximately 1 hour, and we will be cruising at an altitude of 2,000 frog stacks. In a little bit, the flight attendants will be by with complimentary clips and excerpts from previous Reckless Attack episodes. We know you have a lot of choices when it comes to 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcasts, and we would like to thank you for choosing ours. If you enjoyed your experience during today's episode, please be sure to fill out the in-flight survey and leave us a rating or review, or tell a friend. Book your next flight with us at www.recklessattack.com, and thank you for listening.
I do have a few questions, actually.
Yeah. And are you talking this out with your compatriots, or are you just kind of like turning around and like calling out?
Yeah, so I think Checkers would turn around and call out. You mentioned that there was a ritual you had to close the portal, right?
Yes.
Why can't you just do it?
My kind are attached. We are part of this world. We live in harmony with it. We do not ask it to do our bidding. Its bidding is ours, and ours theirs. But this is not of nature. Not truly. Not of this world's nature. So, unfortunately, while I can call upon those powers, mortals are needed to provide fuel. To be a bit of kindling, a bit of spark, to consume this portal. To call upon powers that can close it. And all I need is that little bit of cooperation from you all.
And Checkers will turn around to the rest of the group and say, I think she wants to sacrifice one of us. Not it.
Val will, after Checkers' comment, ask, will this ritual harm us in any way?
The dryad almost like looks confused. I don't understand. It's a... you all see fire as a bad thing, as a consuming thing, and that is not the case. You still remain. You will remain. How to put it in terms that you will understand. All living things, they have a soul, yes?
Mm-hmm.
An essence to them, something from the gods, from nature. Revealing that as part of this ritual is what helps it. Gives it fuel, blends my world and your world to fuel this ritual. Does that make sense?
Partially.
You won't be harmed. You will not lose anything. I don't understand.
Good enough for now.
Okay.
You said you were familiar with Deepwood, right?
Yes, in a way. I'm familiar with some of its older names.
Do you know how far we are from it?
Days? I know little. I know my grove. I know its surroundings. That is all I care to know.
Me.
This creature that came through the door of the portal.
Yes.
What is the nature of it?
Strange, kind of watery plant creature. Some sort of elemental. And this would pop a bit of a light bulb in your guys' head, because that sort of magic is very rare and considered very dangerous since the Ultra Giants. Summoning those sorts of creatures either hasn't been able to be done since the Ultra Giants, or has been looked upon as too dangerous to try. So that would immediately be like, oh, whoa, hold, whoa, wait a second, what?
Could Val roll a check to learn more about who would wear or whose talisman is like the shepherd hook?
Mm-hmm. You try a religion check?
18.
I can't remember. How much research have you done on the shepherd specifically?
I think there were probably more pressing things once we got to Agmar. Yes. It's on the
docket.
It was probably like the top bit of things to research while waiting for more information on other things. So I'd say like she's done some, but probably has not been able to do like a deep dive into anything.
So without a deep dive, A, just you still don't really have any information. But it would strike Val as wearing a symbol, especially a medallion, like Val does, like many clerics and paladins and other kind of holy people would be notable.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing. That either this person is deriving power from it, or that's a strange relationship. Especially because the shepherd, as far as you guys saw, was not wearing any such talisman, symbol, or what have you.
Gotcha. This is kind of harder, but with the ritual magic to open a portal and bring a water elemental to mm-hmm. this place, would Val know what would be the purpose of that?
In the way that any elemental kind of, or any summoned creature, it would mm-hmm. presumably to, and I don't mean this to be a loaded phrase, but I can't think of a better one, do the bidding of.
Yeah.
I don't mean, that sounds inherently evil, but I don't mean it implicitly as evil.
So, thinking about where they are
yes.
on the map, why water in this place more so? Like, what would be the benefit of a water elemental here in this grove?
So, and something that you would have picked up as the dryad was kind of answering your question.
Well, instead it was a lake, right?
Is that there was kind of an oasis here, but they were kind of implying that there is this inherent magic, extra magic here,
mm-hmm.
being a grove, that was kind of tapped. So there are probably other places where there is this kind of inherent magic-iness,
mm-hmm.
but this was one, and it was found, selected as suiting the purpose for kind of bridging the gap into another plane,
mm-hmm.
as far as you guys understand, which is, again, all the alarm bells would be ringing for you guys.
Catherine will say to the dryad, if you can get us through your grove in a single day after this, we can help you.
Safe passage does include the fortunate as well.
And they're, like, totally wrapped.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see one
devil
skull.
Devil snared.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oil can. Oil can.
Yes. But for many reasons, I do not want that creature approaching the site. It's not appropriate, and it is also not my wish.
I think that's fair.
Can you guarantee safe passage for the fortunate boy mango?
I think most of all, I can guarantee his safe passage.
Question.
Yes.
Has the dryad stopped petting Mango this whole time?
I'm going to say no.
I know what that's like.
Yeah, right. We've all been there.
I do have one more question.
Yes.
Do you happen to know about any of the other dryads? Specifically, one that wears a dress made of coins.
The creature looks at you and tilts its head a little bit and says, I have many siblings. Some like me, some of trees, some of lakes, many more. We talk in our ways. Why?
I just wanted to know if you had talked to each other. Perhaps we can have another conversation when you're not dying.
Fine. Follow me, please. You see the dryad kind of turn and actually start to walk-ish, but it is this kind of hunched, strange offset walk where it leans on its right side and kind of uses its large arm as its right leg and its other leg as a leg, and then kind of the other appendages just kind of drag, basically. The group of you follow, and you see the Fortunate is kind of like scooted along as like foliage grabs and pushes and pulls them, and you can tell the Fortunate is not thrilled by any of this.
So the Fortunate is not moving on their own. They are being moved.
They are being moved. Okay. Exactly correct. You walk for a bit, and you are immediately lost. Like, you immediately cannot see the edge of this grove. The sky is so obscured overhead that you can't even really see where the sun is. It is just beams of light and shadow. And you walk for a few minutes, and you have no idea how much ground you've covered. Like, it's just something in your head is thrown off. Whoever is towards the back, eventually the Fortunate just kind of stops moving, and you lose sight of them immediately. And you take a few more steps into an opening in this grove. In the middle of this opening, there is a small tree that actually appears to be some sort of a fruit tree. And below it is a modest pond. Very small, very nondescript. As you kind of approach it, though, you notice that the bottom of the pond is glinting, where there would be mud and reeds and other signs of a pond. You see glints of gold and black that appear to be kind of a mesh and weave together. And in the middle of this pond, you see this dark bluish greenish light emanating from somewhere down below. The dryad gestures to you all and then looks at Selv and says, "I said you might be interested."
Selv will kind of like crane his neck over and look down, and do I see scales?
The gold and the black, you would know, are dragon scales.
Ooh.
So here's kind of the situation. This ritual can only be done during a new moon. Last night was the night of the new moon, but we still have a couple days. Tonight, however, is going to rain again.
Tonight's my bowling night. Just got the league. Busy. Can't do that tonight.
So we cannot do it tonight. Tomorrow. Tomorrow will be clear. Tomorrow we can do this ritual. All I need is a memory. I don't need to take it. I see, what is it? Furrowed brows. Yeah, and that's...
He does
No.
He does a lot.
Immediately. Yeah. Like, I would like to take a memory.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, you misunderstand. I need you to offer it, to share it, and to share the strength of it. Something that you have a connection to. And that is the fuel that I require. But you should not stay here. And as you guys kind of look around the pool again, you notice that near the pool, some of the grass is doing strange things that you would not necessarily notice on first glance, but now the dryad kind of gestures to a patch, and you see the grass seemingly fresh, the only fresh short grass in this entire place, it seems like, is very slowly growing. And if you watch for even a few seconds, it's grown a couple inches. And then the dryad says, just one moment. And you see the grass start to grow faster and faster. And then it kind of grows in strange proportions and gets wider than it should be and starts tangling upon other ones. And it starts getting these strange spots and starts growing fruits like berries. And it's not grass that should be doing these things. And you see it grow and grow. And then suddenly, and again, this is all over the course of moments, grows tall, tall, big, broad, and then curls in on itself and withers and dies and crumples. And then after a moment, you see small grass poking up to start the cycle again.
What is causing that?
That, the dryad says, pointing at the portal. There's too much energy. It's causing this, and they point at the arm and the leg. If it is not closed, I don't know when, but if not closed in time, this effect will spread. And this effect will cause this and worse.
Point of clarification, the portal, is it underwater?
Yes.
Is it causing the green glowing in the pond?
Yes.
Okay.
So you don't really get a good look at what it actually looks like,
mm-hmm.
Other than there's glowing.
Gotcha.
There.
Were the scales here before, or did they come from the portal?
The dryad looks at you like that's the dumbest question in the world. Even though it is, Nathan says, reasonable question. No, this came with the portal.
If we cannot stay here, where should we camp for the night?
Follow me. And then it starts walking into the grass.
The way we came or a different way?
A different way.
Would it be possible for the fortunate to camp with us tonight?
So
can move around the grove.
As you are walking, and as this kind of thought occurs to you after a few steps have been taken, you see the fortunate slide up next to you guys and just kind of start coasting. And the fortunate says, do I get to hang out with you guys, or what's happening?
I think so, but you just...
Yes, we will try to negotiate your release for the evening.
Honestly, you might have to just stay in place, but like, you'll be with us.
That's fine. I've been stuck in weirder positions.
We'll raise the card table to this height that's appropriate.
Yeah, great.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And the fortunate does come one of those things where it's like, at first, answer's like, yeah. 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 It's been a weird couple of days, guys. Okay. You guys get to another clearing. It is very cramped. It is only probably 10, 20 feet in diameter, but you can now see the sky, and it is still around midday. The dryad turns to you all. I will leave you to do mortal things. Let me know if you need anything.
Is there a clear spot, for instance, that we could use for a small campfire?
Are you asking that out loud?
I'm
asking because Selv is looking for, is there a spot, like, was there a spot cleared?
No, there's not.
No, okay.
It is kind of
this
like
is a
short
leave
glass.
No trace campsite.
I thought they were going to be like, I will leave you to decompose slowly as you mortals do.
Yes.
It's interesting you note
this. This is the almighty Sarlacc.
It's interesting you note that, Jonathan slash Checkers. Because as you're looking around the campsite, and this is only to Checkers.
It's just skulls.
You see one, you see a skull.
Oh.
That has
oh, man.
Leaves and grass kind of entwining all around it.
Great.
Which the dryad makes no note of.
Mm.
And looks at you and says, well, I will see you tomorrow.
Before you go, is there something we may call you? I, for instance, go by Valeska Carter.
What languages do Checkers and Val speak?
I speak Druidic.
Mm-hmm.
Just to remind myself and the listener that that is a thing that I know.
Do either of you speak Sylvan?
I do! I don't even have to check the list for that one.
I thought that's what I thought.
Apparently my free space is that you scan't.
Damn it. You would know that Sylvan is what Dryads speak.
Oh.
That is their kind of like native language.
Can I then say that same thing, but in Sylvan to them?
The Dryad looks at you and kind of reappraises you. How did you learn that? And says it in Sylvan. And it's talking to you in Sylvan now.
I have dedicated some time to learning the languages of magic, and nature is one of the most powerful magics of them all.
The Dryad looks you up and down again and says, you all may be more useful than I thought. You may call me the field that resides here. And then kind of melts into the foliage.
Val just like takes like a, whew, all right, okay, that was awesome.
And I think that's where we'll end this week's session. Right. See you all next week.
So many questions.
Bye.
Or Warlock. We talked about Warlock.
We did talk about Warlock. Do I just get all the cantrips?
Well, yeah. Cantrips. You can get a familiar just sprinkled in there if you want, or maybe do some rituals.
Well, but you can get
a fancy book.
But you get that for being a wizard also. You can have the familiar.
And I don't want a familiar. I, Sophie, would just be
not the special familiars, but
devastated. If they get a paper cut.
Well, I mean, then you just resummon them. They are eternal.
Doesn't
immortal.
Matter.
Yeah. In the way that so William which is, can't die.
Which is very,
Mango can't die.
Very different from first edition. You summon a familiar, you get some bonus stuff. But if they die, it's shit like, your intelligence goes down by 2 permanently. You can resummon the thing if you want, but you never get that back.
Wow.
And if that second one dies, your intelligence goes down by 2 permanently.
Boy, I hate that.
Yeah, it's all, and you lose, I think you lose some of your spell power too. So you lose, I don't remember if you lose levels or if you actually lose the ability to cast some spells. Like it could be like, your familiar died. Well, sorry, you don't have fireball anymore.
That's rough. I hope they had more than 1 HP.
No, that was they were creatures like imps and quasits, and it was like the same. Well, it was a roll, so like the toughest one you could. And it was a random roll, but you could get like a fairy dragon.
Uh-huh.
That one was fun because that one could actually talk.
Oh, nice.
But like you could end up with like a frog or an owl, which is a hit point.
Yeah.
I still don't want a familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I have Hody. Hody's my familiar.
Yeah, you could have a frog.
What if Hody was your familiar and you just adventured with Hody and then could re-summon Hody?
Sophie
and instead of dying, Hody would just retreat from battle being like, this is too spooky.
Yeah.
I've taken 14 points of damage, so I am spooked.
Yeah. I don't like this.
And I don't like it. And you cast Summon Familiar again to heal Hody.
Or to coax Hody back.
Mm-hmm. That's better. Exactly. Mm-hmm. She must be refueled with oats.
Yes.
25 gold pieces worth of oats.
Yes.